Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Going to be a little painful, but we are going to engage. This is Wretched Radio. Andy Stanley done dropped another one. Not a pencil, not a rapper song, because that's what you do with rapper songs. You drop them. He dropped a sermon on June 30th that has caused no small amount of kerfuffle on the internet. And we do well to engage with this thought leader. Whether you're a fan of Andy or not, you have to recognize this man has influence, probably not in the circles in which you run, but he does have a great deal of influence on many churches around the globe. And so we are going to engage in this sermon, which has as its text, at least initially, Matthew 28:18. It's the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Andy Stanley would like to teach us how we've basically got our understanding wrong.
This statement has been reduced to simply another statement or another verse in the Bible, equated with every other statement or verse in the Bible, and that is tragic.
Well, isn't all scripture equally inspired?
Because Jesus said this 300 plus years before the first Bible was ever assembled.
That's so lazy and so inaccurate and so sloppy. The first Bible was identified, perhaps not codified with a binding, but it was identified in the first century already. We knew basically the books that should be considered holy writ. The only reason that we spent time measuring which books should stay out of the Bible, not which books should be in, which books should stay out of the Bible, because we already knew the ones that should be in. And there were a number of interlopers that were coming along and saying, hey, we should be in there too. And the early church recognized, we've got to make sure that we don't allow a bad book in. That's the history of the Bible. It didn't get assembled at the Council of Nicaea. There wasn't a single conference. There was not a sentence at the Council of Nicaea in 325, despite what Tom Hanks and Andy Stanley might tell you, that talked about determining what book should be in the Bible.
When I say assembled, the Bible was assembled. They took the Hebrew text and a version of the Hebrew text. They took the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. They took the letters of Paul and others, and they put them all together in one book, and somebody named it the Bible. We don't know when, or we don't know who did it, but which means the books is all it meant. It's like, let's just call it the books. Not very creative, but it stuck, the Biblios, the Bible. 300 and something years after Jesus made the statement. When Jesus made the statement and Matthew wrote it down, Matthew wasn't writing the Bible.
Well, what was he writing then?
He's documenting an event.
Which is in a book we call the Bible. This is such a shell game. This is such a sleight of hands.
And your Savior, my Savior, if you're a Christian, claimed to be the ultimate authority, or to put it another way, if you use this language, the Bible says that Jesus is our ultimate authority, not the Bible.
But how can we know that Jesus is the authority if the Bible isn't authoritative? What just happened there, Jimmy?
Don't know.
The Bible infers, if you just take the Bible as if the Bible had a voice, the Bible proclaims.
I'm really sorry, but this sounds like a man who is actually trying to undermine the Bible and not to proclaim the Bible as authoritative truth.
That Jesus, your Savior and King, is your ultimate authority. More importantly, Jesus said that Jesus is our ultimate authority. And ignoring the implications of this statement is how church leaders have gotten by with so much harmful nonsense century after century after century, because somebody like me, because I'm so well acquainted and well versed in the verses of the Old and New Testament.
Did he just say Old Testament?
Somebody like me can use and misuse, apply and misapply the Bible in such a way that I can justify pretty much anything you want to do. Just give me a minute. I'll find you a verse. I'll find you a story. I'll find you an implication. I will find you a loop.
Okay, that's a bit of a red herring. But how do we know that Jesus is the ultimate authority? And the answer is the Bible. Well, why do you believe that Jesus is the ultimate authority? Because the Bible says so. So no matter how you slice it, it comes back to the Bible says. But Andy, he seems to really hate that concept.
We act sometimes like we're just another ideology or just another religion. Jesus is like, no, this is for the world. There's nobody outside the invitation to this new kind of relationship with God, your Father. He says, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and I want you to make more followers of me. Peter, just like you're a follower of me, I want you to go multiply. John, just like you're a follower of me, I want you to go multiply. I want you to make more followers of me.
Now, where does Andy get that idea? Oh, yeah. The Bible, which is why we understand the Bible, God's word, and God himself are intertwined. You can't know anything about God except from creation, of course, but you can't know anything about his plan of redemption unless, of course, you've got the Bible. What's he after here?
Well, where do you want us to do this? He says, I want you to do it everywhere. And this is what bogged him down. He has to go make disciples of all people groups or all nations, our English text says, or all tribes or all Gentiles or all ethnicities, right?
I don't know what bogged them down. They went. They were dutiful. If you read, now it is not by any means entirely accurate, but Fox's Book of Martyrs would instruct us, they went. Toot sweet. Because they understood that the gospel was for all nations. Matthew chapter 12, right after Jesus has had a couple of Sabbath kerfuffles, Matthew includes a verse from Isaiah that is, it almost seems out of place, but it's super important. It's almost a hinge on which Matthew swings, where it proclaimed from Isaiah 700 years earlier that this Messiah would not be bellicose. He would not be out in the streets as a zealot, as some sort of Jewish nationalist. What would this Messiah do? He would bring justice to the nation twice in that passage from Isaiah. They knew that the gospel was going to go outside of the boundaries of Israel. Why? Not because Matthew happened to write it down. It's because Isaiah talked about it and Matthew affirmed it. And he was letting the reader know, hey, get ready. This Jewish Messiah is going to be for the world. But again, you'd only know that if it were written in the Bible.
And are we supposed to do this by force, manipulation, or threat? No. But Jesus would say, you're supposed to do it the way I did it. Peter, you remember how I did it? I said, Peter, I'd like for you to follow me. Learn from me. Watch me.
No, he didn't ask him. He commanded him, follow me. Nevertheless.
No, this is by example. This is by information. This is by influence. This is through humility. I want you to live your lives in such a way that people are curious. I want you to live your lives in such a way that people lean in. I want you to live your lives in such a way that people are like, I don't know if I can believe all that, but I'd like to try some of the stuff.
Wouldn't argue with that. Wouldn't phrase everything like that. But I would agree. Our lives are supposed to be a testimony. We are supposed to act in such a way that the world asks, what is up with you people? But again, I would say, how do we know that? Because the Bible tells me so. Andy, it appears, is going to continue to try to dismantle what we've always understood about the foundation of our faith. We don't know anything about the apostles. We don't know anything about the early church. We don't know about the teachings of Jesus to any extent except for the Bible.
And the problem is, and what I'm getting to,
okay,
is that modern Christians, and mostly people who do what I do, modern pastors and writers and bloggers and authors for generation after generation after generation, we've done the same thing. We have mixed and matched these covenants. And the reason it's been so easy to do is the way we've received our Bible. Because when you received your Bible, you were told, and understandably, I get this, this is God's word. Well, as soon as you get a book and are told it's God's word, it implies that everything in here is equal.
Yeah, it is, because it is God's word. Trying to engage with this fellow fairly, but this doesn't sound like I feel like I'm listening to a TED talk that is trying to persuade people that the Bible is just another book of fables, or it is another moralism tome where we can glean some good life lessons. But this does not sound like a man who is a preacher of the Bible. Where's Andy going with this? Let's find out together next on Wretched Radio. Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Attention all Christians who refuse to be silenced. Are you tired of seeing culture crumble before your eyes? Picture this. Later this year, 8 brilliant minds, each a powerhouse in their field, will be coming on board and joining forces with us here at Gospel Partners Media, and we're creating a Christian version of the Daily Wire. We'll be tackling tough topics by writing articles, creating resources and homeschool curriculums, video resources, podcasts, and a lot more. These gentlemen will be your guides in navigating this upside-down, brave new world we're living in. But we need your help to make this vision a reality. If you'll join our $250,000 match campaign right now, you can be part of this exciting new chapter. Every dollar you give will be matched up to $250,000. Just visit wretched.org/fellows right now to learn more about the initiative and each of the 8 brilliant minds that will be joining us. That's wretched.org/fellows.
Gotta tell you, very excited. We have got a new outreach that we are working on with the good folks at the Masters Academy International, talking about getting John MacArthur study Bibles in Spanish to South American countries, some of which we maybe can't mention, if you know what I'm saying. It was such a delightful time, and so many people participated in our Bible distribution to the Philippines. That was such a gas. But as long as I brought up the Masters Academy International, it is a great ministry. It's a privilege to be working with these people. They're very thoughtful. They're very methodical. Teaching men how to preach the Word of God rightly. Then they send them back to their churches where they open up the Bible, perhaps for the first time, at least to that depth. Because of the training of the Masters Academy International, if you want to support a ministry that strengthens the local church, hey, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than TMAI. You can learn more about that, if and you want to, at wretched.org/pastor.
Books of the Bible. 1 Timothy contains Paul's instructions to his protege for church leadership. Paul exhorts Timothy to confront and correct false teachers and to preserve sound doctrine through church structure and preaching of the word. The church has a responsibility to preserve and maintain the truth given by God in his word.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Going to try to be charitable, but he's making it difficult. This is Wretched Radio. Andy Stanley preaching about the Great Commission, that all authority has been given to Jesus Christ. Therefore, we need to listen to Jesus, not the Bible. Wait, what?
Well, as soon as you get a book and are told it's God's word, it implies that everything in here is equal. Everything is equally applicable. Everything should be treated the same way. And that's just not true.
Now, that is an accurate statement, that not everything gets applied the same way. But that doesn't mean that the entire Bible is not God's inspired word. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof. And so you and I would look at the different genres of literature, the different styles of writing, and we would say it's all God's word, and yet we understand, based on the genre of literature, if it should be something that we learn from and apply any principles. Is it a didactic? Is it a commandment? Is it poetry? Is it a figure of speech? And we use grammatical, historical interpretive processes so that we can apply all of the authoritative word. That is true. But what Andy just said, the impression I get is that there are just some parts of the Bible that are more important than others. And that's not true. They're all equally important, all of them. This is not the message of a man who is trying to help us understand how to rightly divide the word of truth. This sounds like a man who's trying to undermine the word of truth.
And none of you even try to do that.
Wow.
We know intuitively, we're educated people, that wait, when I read some of this stuff that God said to Israel, that just is not what God said through Jesus for us to do. It's different. It's not right versus wrong. It's then versus now.
Well, actually, it was right then, and it is right now, but it doesn't necessarily apply to us. Now, this is just so painful to listen to this. And I've got the exact same question that I had last time we listened to an Andy Stanley sermon. Where is this man going with this? This is not to promote a robust understanding of the inspired word of God. This feels like a man who is trying to decimate it.
But this mixing and matching of covenants, what it does is it takes Jesus' claim as king and ultimate authority, and it drops him into a bucket with a whole bunch of other information, and we lose the plot line. We lose the storyline.
There is no storyline without the Old Testament. He's the fulfillment of all of that. And that's what makes him king. That is the proof that was offered by Matthew. Can I say Matthew? He is, after all, a book of the Bible. That caused him to say, this is the king. It's based on the Old Testament. And we also understand that he's a greater than. Jesus said it himself. This is Matthew chapter 12. One greater than Jonah is here. One greater than Solomon is here. One greater than Moses is here. That's what Matthew is doing in Matthew 1 through 8, really. Without the Old Testament, Jesus was a madman.
This is why so many pastors, and I can, you know, kind of pick on my industry or my people. This is why so many pastors, and this drives me nuts.
Okay. I'm glad he said that he feels free to pick on some people in his industry. So if you happen to love Andy Stanley, please note what he just said.
This is why so many pastors talk way, 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 way more about being biblical than Christ-like.
What just happened here? How do you know how to be Christ-like? By being biblical. What is this man after?
Big difference.
Please explain it.
In fact, if you have been hurt by the church, you were hurt by a church that was all about this. They
biblical.
Had whatever they said to you, whatever they told your mama, the reason they told you couldn't come, whatever it was, they teed off of this. You didn't feel like they were being this.
Christ-like. That's quite an accusatory statement, isn't it? Everybody who's ever been hurt, whatever that means, it's because people were trying to be biblical but not Christ-like. Okay, well, Andy, tell me, how do we know how to be Christ-like? And we never get an answer. Well, we just get these slippery statements where he'll quote the Bible to say that Jesus is the authority and not the Bible, which means we shouldn't be quoting the Bible to reflect Jesus' teaching. This is devious. That's what it is. It's devious and deceptive.
So when the disciples didn't go and things just became just mix and match, mix and match, mix and match, Jesus had...
Needless to say, this is not an academic sermon.
To intervene. And he did two big interventions. One, he recruited Saul of Tarsus, who was a Pharisee, and got him involved. That was a great strategy. That was
his plan from the beginning. As if somehow the early church, the disciples, goofed things up. So he enlisted. Better get a hold of Paul.
Huge. And he, in fact, Saul did such a good job. We know him as Paul, the Apostle Paul. God let him write half the New Testament. So that.
Wait. And what does that New Testament teach us?
That worked out. Okay. The other person that Jesus came back to recruit was Peter. And here's the story. It's Acts chapter 10. You got to read the whole story for yourself because I don't have time to tell the whole story, but it's fascinating. Acts chapter 10. Peter, okay, this is, catch this, for all you Bible nerds. This is like...
Jimmy, would you consider yourself to be a Bible nerd?
Yeah.
15 years after the resurrection. 15 years. He's still in Judea. 15 years. In fact, he's at the beach. He's at the Mediterranean Sea, hanging out with a buddy.
Sure.
And he has a vision. And in the vision, God speaks to him. And these are my words, not the text words. God essentially says, what are you doing? I told you to go, and you didn't go.
Now, that's actually not what was commanded. It was a vision that was going to be given to him. And then Cornelius was going to come for a visit to hear about that vision, which helped him understand those Old Testament laws are no longer authoritative in the New Covenant. What do you think he's up to here? Is this a Bible teacher? Or is this somebody who's trying to teach a new way of looking at virtually everything?
You got to go. So tomorrow, somebody's coming to this house. He was staying with a friend. Somebody's coming to this house, and you're going to be invited to go about 30 miles north up the coast, and you're going to visit the home of a Gentile named Cornelius. He's a wealthy centurion. He did not make all of his money honestly. We're just letting you know that up front.
Not sure the order of events is accurate, but...
But he's curious about the story of Jesus, and he knows bits and pieces.
No, he was commanded to go and find Peter.
And he's going to fill his large house with a bunch of Gentiles. And I want you to go up there, go in his house, and I want you to connect the dots for them so they understand the whole story and the whole message. And Peter's like, this is Peter. This is 15 years after the resurrection. This is walk on water, Peter. Peter's like, I'm not comfortable with that. Because religious tradition, I get it. I grew up in one. It gets its claws in you. And
all right,
you
there it is.
Straight, you can't think
there,
straight.
There it is. All right, so this is an effort to undermine the background from which he comes. That's what this is really about. To say that the Old Testament had its claws in Peter, of course, he was steeped in Old Testament ceremonies, and this was a teaching that was indeed difficult for them to understand. That covenant pointed to this new and better covenant, and you do not need to adhere to those dietary laws anymore because the better is here. Now, that isn't complicated. That isn't mixing and matching covenants. That's just explaining what basically the Church Universal has always understood. But now, Andy, he's got a new take, and I think that we understand why. This is a fellow who is whatever Dad was into, he's not.
Why would James be a pastor of a Christian church? Because he saw his resurrected brother. That's why. And here's what he said at the end of the meeting. And this statement is painted on walls all over our offices. He says, okay, I've listened to both sides of the argument. I'm making a decision. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Let's remove every barrier we can.
Hold on. What does that mean?
Let's remove the big ones, the small ones. And they did. They addressed big cultural barriers. They addressed theological barriers. They addressed traditional barriers. And it was so uncomfortable for them, but they did it anyway. It felt so untorical.
I got it. You see, that's what they did. So that's what we're gonna do, silly rabbit. All of these traditions from his Southern Baptist past. Hey, they learned how to unwind all of those, and we need to learn how to also. Now I get it. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News Break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. In Kentucky, a judge has tossed out a lawsuit that challenged the state's law protecting preborn children. Three women had argued that the law violated their religious freedom by potentially limiting in vitro fertilization options. But Jefferson County Circuit Court Judge Brian Edwards dismissed the case, saying their claims were hypothetical since none were currently pregnant or undergoing IVF. Attorney General Russell Coleman praised the decision, stating that it eliminates any notion that IVF access is at risk in Kentucky. The lawyers for the plaintiffs say they plan to appeal, apparently believing the higher courts will be brave enough to do their bidding. Brave enough meaning to overturn laws protecting the most vulnerable, that is. Yeah, that's pretty brave, pretty courageous. Moving on to Olympic news, the press is tying itself in knots over an athlete they're dubbing as transgender and non-binary. The runner will compete in the women's 1500 while identifying as neither male nor female. The New York Times reported this was a milestone. They conveniently forgot that it's a logical inconsistency as well. Anyway, in the meantime, I'll stick with the radical notion that words have meanings. There is male, there is female, there's not non-binary. In Canada, lawyers and teachers are appealing to the Senate to reject a bill that would criminalize spanking. The Quebec Defense Lawyers Association warned that it's impossible to imagine fostering child development without occasionally using minimal force. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Firm believer in that, but you got to do it the right way. Teachers worried that they'd face assault charges for basic classroom management. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau supports the ban. Of course he does. Coming from a man that likely was never spanked himself as a child. That just continues the track record he's racked up, undermining parental authority. In election news, Washington State has removed its 30-day residency requirement for voter registration. How about that? Secretary of State Steve Hobbs overturned the constitutional rule allowing same-day registration until 8 p.m. on Election Day. Oh, that's convenient. I'm sure the decision was made purely to increase voter participation. Has nothing to do with potential electoral advantages. Nothing at all. Get your mind away from that. This is an honest decision. As is all election decisions, obviously. Finally, a Toronto area naturist club is offering free memberships. Well, how completely thoughtful of them, to 14 to 18 year olds. Not to go on hiking trails and enjoy the nature, no, but getting completely naked with strangers. Wholesome family fun right there, right? Nah, it is a brave new world. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Mexican.
Providence is the word we use to describe God's preserving, upholding, and governing of His creation. God sustains His creation day to day through ordinary means established at the beginning of time, and He intervenes in miraculous ways. In all things, God is working for His glory and for the good of those who love Him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Finally, a little clarity in a fog, and I think it has to do with the Southern Baptist Convention. This is Wretched Radio. Andy Stanley is the king of obfuscation. It is an otherworldly gift this man possesses to preach a message in such a manner that everybody in the room, all with differing opinions, conclude, he agrees with me. It's slow clap worthy. Andy Stanley delivering message after message that's foggy enough that critics can say, look at what he's saying there. And defenders would go, no, but he also kind of said that. For years now, Andy Stanley has been trying to unhitch the Old Testament. And he has now preached another sermon trying to undermine the authority of the New Testament. You heard him say that the authority of the Christian life is not the Bible, it's Jesus, because that's what the Bible says. Now, I know that that is entirely nonsensical, but he's saying that the New Testament, that's not the authority, Jesus is. Those are not the words of a preacher defending the Bible. Those are the words of a preacher trying to undermine the authority of the Bible. And many of us have been scratching our heads wondering, where are you going with this? What's up with this? And I think we just heard a little bit of a hint using Acts chapter 10, the story of dietary laws, where God makes it clear to Peter through a vision, a visit from Cornelius, the Mosaic dietary laws are gone. You need to understand that. And Andy presents that as an object lesson in getting rid of religious rules, the hurdles for Gentiles, these social issues and customs and theological issues, and is very uncomfortable for them. Where's he going? And we've got to do that too. We've got to get rid of all of our 21st century preconceived ideas of what it is that Christianity is all about. And if we do that, the floodgates will open up again and people will come to church. And this is when I finally received a little bit of clarity from Andy.
Because religious tradition, I get it. I grew up in one. It's claws in you, and sometimes you can't see straight, you can't think straight.
Wow, there it is. So what is Andy after? I think it's his Southern Baptist Convention upbringing. They were his dad was a conservative Southern Baptist preacher, and he grew up in conservative Southern Baptist circles. And you just heard a man who basically now and didn't appreciate it apparently very much because it got its claws into him. And so he's using now Acts chapter 10 to say, we got to get rid of all of that Southern Baptist stuff. We got to get rid of all of that conservative biblical stuff because he didn't like it. And he's been using this sermon series to undermine the authority of the Bible, to dismantle all of those people who try to be biblical but aren't Christ-like. I think I've just had an Andy Stanley aha moment.
We grew up in church and we don't want to be church for church people. We've done that.
Spoken by a true seeker sensitive pastor. We don't want to be church for church people. Then call yourself a community center, because church, by definition, means called out ones. The only way an individual can be a member of a church is if you are a member of God's kingdom, because church is for Christians. Yes, unbelievers are welcome. We want them to come in and witness what we do for Christians. Andy's seeker sensitive movement said, no, we got to change that. We got to stop doing church for church people. We got to do church for outsiders. That is the seeker sensitive movement boiled down to its essence.
We saw where that led. It makes people cynical and critical.
Hold on. That's an accusation that I felt. Those of us who believe church is for church people, in other words, church is for believers, we're just cynical and critical. Don't ever, please, say that liberals never take shots. That was a cannon blast.
And they turned their backs to community, and everybody doesn't agree with them. They're just...
Okay, so we've turned our backs to the community. Come on.
Wrong, and they're going to hell anyway. And if you get saved, come on in, but...
Yeah, they're going to hell anyway. What a straw man.
We can't have anything to do with you. Like
that's been our attitude. You felt like, Jimmy, I know you want nothing to do with those unbelievers.
Oh, no.
We're the only ones who want to get... We're it, baby. They're just going to hell anyway, so let them go in a handbasket.
Peter going, I know I need to go in there. I know I need to go in there, but I just can't go in there. There it is, all over again.
This sounds like a man who had a bad church experience in his upbringing. That's what this sounds like to me.
So unfortunately, this is why I'm talking about this. Unfortunately, much of that progress that you were a part of creating at other churches, not just us, much of that progress is being undermined and reversed like crazy right now.
Good.
With all the political nonsense in the last few years, it has picked up speed like crazy. And here's what happened.
I can't wait to hear it. We're going to enter into the realm of politics.
The people fueling it are conservative. And I'm so theologically conservative.
Nobody who's conservative would affirm that.
I'm even politically conservative. But this whole thing has been fueled by conservative, fearful, fundamentalist, don't have time to define that.
You should.
Academics and pastors. And churches, church leaders are resurrecting old barriers that we spent years tearing down.
Mm-hmm. And there are churches that are growing, that are receiving the cast-offs because of Andy's increased liberalism. How do I know? We happen to be located in the same town. We meet these folks at Alpharetta Bible Church. But now I think we're going to get an even deeper glimpse into what is motivating this, because you would not anticipate in this moment with this sermon about the authority of the Bible and that it shouldn't be authoritative. What does this have to do with the Southern Baptist Convention?
Now, I'll give you a quick example. I texted him this morning, told him I was going to talk about him in church. One of the two people who really launched this movement way back in the late 70s is Rick Warren.
And the other one was Robert Schuller.
Purpose-Driven Life. Before he wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, he wrote The Purpose-Driven Church. That book sold millions of copies to pastors, and it was a book about how to create a church that's for outsiders, for unchurched people. I mean, he inspired so many of us, right, to help get the church back on mission. He is a modern church reformer. There's no way around it.
That is very true. And he has reformed the church. But reformation doesn't always mean progress, and it certainly doesn't mean biblical.
Last year, some of you know about this. Last year, his denomination kicked him out of the denomination. For something immoral? No. Something illegal? No. Something that had to do with money? No. Because he's had some addiction? No. None of that, you know, glamorous stuff, right? They kicked him out because he had the nerve to ordain three female staff members who were functioning as pastors. He ordained them as pastors, which is actually a legal status. It gave them a tax benefit. They're doing the work of all the other male pastors. He's like, well, why in the world would we not make them pastors?
Pick me. I know. Oh, because the Bible says so. And that's why Andy needs to undermine the authority of the Bible. He's a liberal. He's not conservative. This just sounds so much like the modern day gaslighting. You people who want free and fair elections, you're undermining democracy. What? I thought that's actually a staple of democracy. This is liberalism, and in order to advance women in the church as pastors, you need to undermine the authority of the Bible.
Pastor, and they weren't going to go out and lead a church. They were working on his staff. He ordained three women, and they kicked him out of the church. You don't get any more insider focused than that.
No, you don't get any more biblical than that. And that's what this hokey pokey is all about. And that is why we are receiving clarity from Andy Stanley. This is a march toward liberalism. And I wish that he would just stop saying he's conservative. He's probably fond of that moniker for some reason. He also knows his audience in Alpharetta, Georgia. Mostly, not entirely, but mostly conservative. And he doesn't want to lose those folks because, after all, he is seeker sensitive and he doesn't want to lose anybody, which is why he doesn't want to preach definitively and authoritatively, because it turns people off. And that is why I think this is, now we've got clarity. His upbringing was conservative Southern Baptist. And today, he's now railing against the Southern Baptist Convention for adhering to 1 Timothy 2:12. So how do you go about the business of saying those people are wrong? Because that's what he just said without directly saying they're wrong. He did just say the Southern Baptists are wrong. The only way you can get there is to undermine the authority of the Bible. And so it is. Andy Stanley, I think, is revealing his true colors. Andy, please, just say you're a United Methodist. Just come out and say that you've jettisoned these things. You don't believe them. And that's what this church is about. But please, please, stop saying you're conservative. Stop saying you're biblical. Because you're not. This is Wretched Radio.
All right, folks, gather around, listen up, because if you're looking to get transformed and save some serious money, and let's be honest, who isn't these days with Bidenflation making everything so ridiculously high? Well, you've stumbled upon the sale of the century at the Wretched Store. We bundled just about everything we could find to save you some money. First up, we've got the Transformed Bundle, seasons 1-3. Originally priced at $134.94, we've slashed that to $49.99. Or how about the Road Trip to Truth Bundle, seasons 1-4, originally priced at $179.92, now just $49.99. And the grand finale of it all, the Wretched Worldview Bundle, seasons 1-2, originally priced at $89.96, now just $29.99. That's right, binge watch all your favorite resources for a fraction of the price. Head over to the Wretched store right now at wretched.org and grab up these bundles before someone else does. And let's face it, missing out would be a real tragedy.
You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now, they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today. Let me tell you just how this ministry is going to be changing lives later this year. With your help, meet Dr. John Krotz, one of the new powerful voices who will soon be joining this ministry later in the year. Dr. Krotz is a pastor at Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia. He holds a doctorate of ministry from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and Dr. Krotz has also authored several books, including Graciousness, Tempering Truth with Love, and of course, Loving the Church. His work focuses on theology and pastoral care, helping believers grow in their faith and their love for the church, and your support can help bring more voices like Dr. Krotz to the forefront. Just join our $250,000 match campaign, which is happening right now. You can visit wretched.org/fellows to see how you can partner with us, and together we can transform lives with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Attributes of God. God is just. Since he is the standard of right and wrong, every judgment he makes is right and just. He rewards good and punishes evil. The good news for sinners is that the just God offers to justify you through the atoning work of Christ, so that your sins are punished on the cross and Jesus' righteous deeds are accounted to you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, this ought to be interesting. This is Wretched Radio. Andy Stanley, for years making an effort to unhitch the Old Testament in his latest salvo, trying to undermine the authority of the entire Bible. It seems that Andy is on a road trip to liberalism, and he is now going to talk about the realm of politics. this ought to be interesting.
Well, here's the problem. Evangelical leaders, and I consider myself evangelical. Not evangelistic, that's different, and evangelistic, but evangelical. Evangelical leaders are prioritizing politics over mission.
Okay, some are. I would affirm some are. All?
And the people in their churches are buying it hook, line, and sinker.
That actually is accurate. Okay, I would affirm that. In some churches, I wish he'd be a little more specific.
And globbing on all their political views, and my political views are as strong as your political views, and mine are right, okay? Just want to let you know right up front, okay? You think yours are. Not right, because we all feel that. You wouldn't have a view if you didn't think it was the right thing to do, right? But they have elevated politics, and here's what they've done. They've taken Old Testament or Old Covenant terminology, Old Covenant stories, blended it with their politics and globbed it on to the message and the person of Jesus. And it's just sick. And they're prioritizing politics over mission.
Sick. Last time I looked it up, that would be a pejorative. That would be name calling. That note aside, are there some who are doing that? Yes. Is everybody in evangelicalism doing that? No. No, we're not.
Political affiliation. I don't know who you follow on social media. I try to follow everybody so I know what the conversation is and follow the famous people, you know, in the religious world. Political affiliation has become the litmus test for orthodoxy.
Well, this ought to be interesting. It's up on his screen. Political affiliation has become a litmus test for orthodoxy. I would say no. Political affiliation isn't a litmus test for theological orthodoxy, but that doesn't mean political affiliation is amoral.
I hope you haven't seen this, but let me just tell you, what I'm about to tell you is not kind of off in a corner. This is mainline speaking and posting, and books are written and chapters and books are written about this. Right now, the current thing for the last 3 or 4 years is that you can't, I was going to put this on the screen, but there are things I should never put on a screen to have a picture taken because, anyway, so.
Accountability.
You know what the messaging is now? This isn't in the corner. These are, if I named the people who are saying these things, you've heard of most of them. You've read some of their books. That you can't be a Christian and be a Democrat. You can't possibly be a true Christian if you're a Democrat, which is absolutely absurd.
Then I'm an absurdist. So let me be specific. Can a new Christian or a perhaps uneducated Christian vote for an evil party like the Democratic Party? And the answer is yes. But that doesn't mean that we would affirm it and say, no big whoop. We would educate them that a party that is bent on the mutilation of children, the dismemberment of children in the wombs of their mothers, is so evil that we cannot be party, no pun intended, party to it. And when there is a more moral, not entirely, but a more moral choice, you must make that decision because you do not want to be a party to overt evil. It appears Andy Stanley, though, is saying that any of us who would say that it is a sin to vote for that party are absurd. Or, I guess, potentially sick, as he said. Is it absurd to say that a Christian who is informed should not vote for that party? Is that absurd? I don't think it is. I just wonder, so helpful always, to swap sins, because the two big moral issues, historically, let's say before 1973, I think most of us conservatives would say we can get along fine with these people who are Democrats. We've got differences of opinion on tax policy, shovel-ready jobs. Those were the issues. But after 73, the issue of life is a genocide on children. It changed the entire playing field. And now with the gender issues, and the government's effort to pay to mutilate children, we're just talking about different issues. We're talking about such moral issues. These are divisive issues. These are issues that make it very difficult to pretend that it's just not that big of a deal. And I wonder if we change the sin of abortion and the mutilation of children who are confused about their gender to slavery and rape. Let's imagine that the Democratic Party were for those evil acts. Slavery, they're pro-slavery, and they're pro-rape. Would Andy say the same thing? That it's absurd for a pastor to say that you shouldn't vote for that party? I think what this reveals, I can't read the man's mind, but he just doesn't apparently think those issues are that big of a deal. I would love to hear Andy's position on life. He's somehow been able to skirt that issue. I'd love to hear it. I happen to be, perhaps I'm a bit of a rare duck in our circles, but I do believe that it is a sin to vote for people who are telling you up front, we are going to see more babies aborted. We're going to see more people enslaved. I think Andy would have a problem. We're going to see more women and children raped. I know he'd have a problem with those things. Why doesn't he have a problem with abortion and the gender issues?
But what's even more absurd is as conservative Christians, Republicans, demonize Democrats, all Democrats, and you can't possibly be a Christian, as they demonize Democrats, they basically go against one of Jesus' primary teachings. Instead of loving their enemies, all these lost Democrats, they demonize them.
The word demonize is a bit of a loaded word. Demonize them. To demonize is one thing. To call out wicked, atrocious policies, that's another thing. This is so clever of him to use word. Hey, you're supposed to love those people, not demonize them. Fine. We shouldn't demonize somebody, but we should love people by telling them the truth and saying, repent, and saying that is an evil vote. That is a wicked thing to be a party to. No pun intended. That is evil. That's not the same as demonizing someone.
They make Democrats the enemy. And what did Jesus tell us to do with our enemies? Anybody remember? Yeah. So let me just say to those of you who are conservative politically like me.
Well, the issue is finding the balance of speaking truth in love. That's what I think is the category error here. That to disagree with somebody isn't loving. I say to tell somebody biblically with the authority of the Bible, you're wrong. It's the most loving thing that we could possibly do.
If you do that, stop it. You can disagree, but you don't write somebody off as bad and evil. Here's why. You think it's just kind of funny. You study history. All that has to happen in any country is for a majority to decide a minority is evil. And once they're evil, they're cockroaches and they're rats. And once they're evil, the only thing to do with evil...
Jimmy, this ain't going where I think it's going, is it?
Redeem evil. You don't share your faith with evil. You get rid of evil. That language is so extraordinarily...
Dangerous? Look, I don't want to impute to him what he's not saying, but if I heard that correctly, he just said those of us who say that it is a sin to vote for an evil party with evil policies, the next step is Nazi Germany? Am I overblowing this a little bit?
That's what I heard.
Harmful. And this is one of many reasons why Jesus said, when somebody considers you an enemy, don't you dare return the favor. Do you demonize people that you've been called to reach? And this group of people, like these are some of them are my friends. They have turned the mission field into a battlefield.
As long as Nazi Germany is on the table, can you imagine a pastor in 1943 saying, you know, you people who demonize the Nazi Party, stop it. It's absurd and sick. You should be loving your enemies. I think that we would all get that. I think the reason that Andy is able to get away with what he's saying is because of his understanding of the issue of abortion and genital mutilation of children. It apparently just isn't that big of a deal. I'd love to hear a thorough treatment by Andy on the life issue and where he stands, because the issue of abortion and what we are doing to children, it's genocidal, and it is about as wicked a position as anybody can stake. And does that mean that I'm going to demonize a human being? No, they're the mission field. And they need to be reached with the gospel. But the message to them should be, repent, you are wrong, and you are a party to evil, and you must stop it, and you must have your sins forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking truth is loving. Wow, if I heard that correctly. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.